It starts as the sun sets. Golden light bathes the solitary city of Sanguine, flooding the nooks and crannies of alleys and avenues, easing through the street like honey down a blade. As the darkness sets in on the shadow side of a newly built skyscraper, red eyes peer out of the penthouse suite, following a tall lady entering the ground floor of a shaded office block before pulling the curtains fast closed. In the sixth story of a rundown building, a rundown detective by the name of Beatrice Janeway sits in the gloom, semi-awake, where our tale begins.
Come in.
The lady waltzed into her office, ducking under the lintel and pulling in the brim of her hat, skin whiter than a sheet and cold brown eyes. Her gaze swept across the bare office, taking in the empty rye bottles, discarded cigarettes still smoking in crystal ashtrays, and the collection of antique crucifixes and vintage grappling hooks with a wry smile. Beatrice could tell what she was as soon as she sat down.
So what can I do for you, my darling?
Rather forward, sweetheart. I heard you were the best detective in town.
In certain circles, perhaps.
And a member of the 13th Hour Brigade to boot.
Former member, we didn't see eye to eye.
Oh dear. Why is that?
I'm much taller than them.
I see.
Better than most would.
It's nice to meet someone of my stature for a change.
We are head and shoulders above our peers. Care for a cigarette?
No. I only smoke after sex.
Care for a cigarette in 4 hours?
Please, Miss Janeway. I'm here on business, not pleasure.
Something in her eyes suggested she might be here for both.
Of course. Well, how can I help you today, Miss...
Lilith. Just Lilith, if that's all right.
It certainly is. What brings you to my door?
I have a case.
Oh?
A case so delightful, so delectable, and so delicious, it could only go to Beatrice Janeway.
Well, you certainly have my attention.
There are powerful people involved. I should warn you, it'll be dangerous.
Danger is my middle name.
Is it?
Well, no, it's Minerva.
Oh, Minerva. I like that.
You were saying.
There's a political intrigue that goes to the very top of Sanguine. Someone's trying to change the delicate balance of this city. I don't know who. Maybe it was the political forces of this town. Maybe the gangsters, or maybe even... the vampires. Well... will you take the case?
Miss Lilith.
Please. Just Lilith.
Are you aware that I'm not just a detective?
Yes.
And am, in addition, a vampire hunter?
Yes, that's why I...
And are you aware that I have a mirror on the back of my door?
Lilith turned around, only to see Beatrice's smug face in the reflection.
Drat. Well, that's very clever.
I am very clever. Do you think this is amateur hour? Don't you know I'm the coolest and strongest vampire hunter? Former 13th Hour Brigade. Room that's covered in religious paraphernalia and dried garlic. Might I be some kind of overzealous French Catholic?
Okay, very well, you've made your point.
Actually, this is my point.
Beatrice opened her drawer and pulled a wooden stake from within and lunged it at Lilith, who danced out the way of her thrust.
Points for trying.
Who sent you?
Who do you think?
Caramel.
Carmella.
Oh, of course it's Carmella. It's always Carmella, but why now?
This game of cat and mouse you play with Carmella is fun, but she has plans for tonight and would very much like not to be disturbed. She sent me to keep you out of her hair. One of the more pleasurable tasks she set me. Perhaps you would be willing to sit this one out? Have you ever been to Whitby? We could go together.
Been there, done that, got the scar to prove it. I'm frankly offended that you think you can come into my office and throw enrichment activities at me like I'm some sort of maladjusted chimpanzee.
Oh, please, Miss Janeway, this needn't be unpleasant. Are you sure I couldn't take you dancing? Very well. Well, I've done a mighty fine job at the fembit, but be warned, if you interrupt Carmella's plans, you will see me a bit more... fatel.
What?
Fatel? Fatel. Oh, never mind.
And with that, Lilith flew from her chair at Beatrice. But Beatrice threw herself to the side, leaving only the large plate glass window to go through. As Lilith tumbled down into the street below, Beatrice looked down.
Damn, that was a nasty 4-6 stories. I don't know if even a vampire could survive that. Oh, no way. There she goes. Off into the night.
Ta-ta!
Oh, fangs. Got to replace this window now. That's such a pain. Operator? Get me the number for Boss Construction. Okay, try Mr. Boss Construction. Thank you. Hi, Susie. Yes, it's me again. Yes. Yeah, tell Mr. Boss I'm coming over.
As we pull back through the broken window and race down the alley to a grate in the street and move through the manhole cover and into the sewers that slosh and scrape and mush all around, we find a man quite alone, throwing daggers at a crudely drawn bullseye.
Beautiful shot, husband.
Thank you, dear.
Were you always this accurate? I remember a distinct time when you split something more delicate than an apple with one of your blades.
Oh, yes. Those heady circus days. I, the daredevil, and you, the acrobat.
The crowds we would draw.
The way we would astonish them.
Carlos and Godot. The daring duo.
Certainly the happiest time of my life.
Darling.
All until we met her. In this blasted vampire town.
My dear sweet Godot. Light of my life, my troubadour, my twit and my twin. There is no use in dwelling on the things that bring you suffering. It is like dripping arsenic into the well of your soul.
No, my dear Carlos. I must face my decisions as squarely as I face the target. I embrace it all. The beauty that was and the pain that followed. Time and memory are soups. They form a heady broth from which I can do naught but taste all its flavors, good and ill.
Come, my love. Let me soothe those rushing thoughts. Perhaps I could tell you a joke.
Please do.
What is the difference between a tube and a daft Dutchman?
One is a hollow cylinder, and the other a silly Hollander.
So I've told you that one before.
Carlos, you're in my head. I've heard all your jokes before. But I never tire of them.
Godot slings another knife, and it embeds in the center of the bullseye.
Bravo, my brave husband.
Yes. Imagine, Carlos. If I can do that with a knife, what if I could do that with a wooden stake?
He chuckled to himself, quite alone in a quiet room. Beatrice headed east through the evening haze, chased by the skyscraper's shadow, careening around lampposts that popped into light as she ran past them. She didn't have long, and she had to find her only ally in this goddamned vampire town.
Ah, oh, Susie.
Hello, Miss Janeway. You're looking flushed. Did you run here?
All the faster to see you, pet.
And yet you never see my shows.
Susie, my love, be a dear and tell Mr. Boss that Beatrice Janeway, a vampire hunter extraordinaire, former member of the 13th Hour Brigade and the coolest and strongest of their acquaintance, just got pinged by one of Carmella's spawn.
Right. Mr. Boss!
What is it, Susie?
Beatrice Janeway is here to
former
see you.
Member
former member of the 13th Hour Brigade.
Coolest
and strongest of your acquaintances.
Beatrice is coming already.
What's happening, boss?
That's Mr. Boss to you, Beatrice. Only my mother calls me boss.
Mr. Boss was an imposing figure. Gold teeth, silver knuckle dusters, the words camp hero tattooed on their fingers. Big hat, very big hat, actually, like a Panama, and a white suit. Strong, silent type stood aside his desk, like Renaissance statues depicting the biblical scene of Samson pulling down the temple pillars of Dagon. Mr. Boss picked up a small tube and fed the goldfish on his desk.
And how is your mother, Mr. Boss?
Her sciatica is playing up with her again, but she very much appreciated those hot yoga stones you sent her.
Those were just normal stones for her rock garden.
Oh. Anthony, please go and check on Mother.
Yes, boss.
So, Beatrice, let me guess. You need another favor.
Yes, a new window.
Again?
I had a new client this afternoon. The kind with youthful looks, a devil-may-care attitude, and exquisite incisors that make you want to live forever.
I see. You say this happened this evening?
Why do you think I came to see you first?
What, for the window? You want a drink?
Thought you'd never ask.
Oh, thank you, Michael.
So, why are there three bowls of goldfish on your desk?
Some of the other family sent them to me. It's an old message amongst our people. It means don't worry about fishes for the time being.
As a truce?
Until after the election, yeah. We all agreed the integrity of the political process is too important. Anyway, enough about Civex. What happened, You got a visit from one of those bloodsuckers?
Yes, it was a flimsy ploy. They were trying to get rid of me.
Get rid of you?
Yes, no, she offered to take me on holiday.
I still don't see where the broken window comes in.
Oh, she jumped through it, but not before giving away a juicy slice of Carmella's plan.
Carmella?
Fangs, yes, Carmella. Carmella's making a power play tonight.
How do you know?
Well, she wanted me out of her hair.
And on the eve of the election, no less. Well, I don't know how I can help you with your vampire problem, but I can certainly get my boys to replace the window. Anta!
Sorry to interrupt. Just wanted to let you know that your car is back from detailing.
Oh, and how's she looking?
Purring like a kitten, Mr. Boss.
Oh, you know, they weren't too rough with her, right?
I had a word with the owner. They definitely knew whose car it was and the regret they would experience if anything were to happen to it.
You didn't threaten them, did you? I mean, there's a truce, you know?
Oh, no. It was definitely implied.
Oh, look at that. Beatrice, she's a marvel. I don't know what I'd do without her. Best secretary I ever had. You know, she studied politics.
Also, the mayor's office was on the phone.
And what did his omniscience want this time?
He wouldn't say, Mr. Boss, but he asked if Miss Beatrice would pop by his office tonight, and if you would be willing to join her.
How does he always know?
The mayor always knows. Thank you, Susie. Call the mayor and tell him we'll be right there, okay?
Yes, Mr. Boss, and...
And I'll see you at the Bloody Mary tonight. You're performing, right?
You're actually coming this time.
Oh, wouldn't miss it for the world.
5 more bowls of goldfish have arrived. Should I put them on your desk?
Sure. We'll take care of them. Maybe we'll have sushi tomorrow.
The moon hangs in the air. The stars are barely visible in the halogen malaise. A man, summoned, walks into the newly built civic center, quite alone, and enters an elevator to the penthouse suite.
Darling, is this the best idea?
I know what I'm doing, Carlos.
You know you said that before. You tried the infamous spinning wheel of doom trick, and I've still the scar to prove it.
No, you don't.
I assure you I do. Somewhere. Though, perhaps it has faded with time.
I've made many mistakes in my life, dear love. The spinning wheel of doom, the seesaw of wanton destruction, the helter-skelter of hubris. But prime amongst them was trusting her.
The elevator opened into a large, empty suite. Long tapestry curtains were drawn over the windows. The lonesome man took a lit candelabra from atop the piano and placed it onto the empty desk with a copy of the day's newspaper. He sat down, gripping a steak and tapping his foot nervously.
How were you to know? How were we to know that her offer was a poison chalice? Darling, you're the bravest man I know, but But you fall into the same trap every time. You alone will not be strong enough to defeat her.
I have you.
And that, dear heart, is exactly the problem.
The wind whistled, the leaves bristled, and the lonesome man was no longer alone.
This isn't a bad time, is it, darling?
No.
Now, don't worry. If you need another moment with Carlos, I do understand, you know. How is he, anyway?
You're mistaken. I was speaking to no one.
Glad you two are getting on. Now, while I read the news, you decide whether today's the day you're going to kill me or not. So, are you ready to strike me down where I stand? Cut off my head and parade it around town?
Godo gripped the stake tighter in his hand, steadying himself.
Of course, if you were going to do it, it would be done by now. You've missed your moment, dear Godot. Poor sweet Godot. Perhaps you'll get me next time, or the time after that. Of course, if you do decide to, you know, me, well, it'd be curtains for dear Carlos, too. Oh, now don't give me that look, sweetheart. It's just the way of things. Rather charming, isn't it? The thing you hate, inextricably linked to that which you love. Don't you think?
What do you want?
The same as always, dear heart. Earl Grey, milk, dash of blood, 2 sugars, and fire up the classic car du jour. We're heading to City Hall.
Very good, Miss Carmilla.
And Godot, dear.
Yes.
Leave the steak.
Earl Grey with milk. What a monster. You give her too much power, Godot.
Darling. You are all I have.
The moon rose to its zenith. A river of moonlight floods the city. Streetlights flitted across the window like passing stars. The bright gold Bentley whinnied its way around tight corners at dangerous speeds.
This is the Midnight Minutes. The mayor gave his annual invitation to campaign competitors this morning ahead of tomorrow's annual mayoral election. And we can exclusively reveal that there will be, for the first time in years, a new candidate. We have invited this last-minute addition to our program to give her the opportunity to share her policies with the city.
Oh,
Miss Carmella, welcome.
Thank you. Citizens and creatures of San Gwyn, I'm honored today to...
No, wait, that's for June.
No, you have to swivel that, and then that one's the volumes.
What, this big one?
No, that's the...
Look out! What in the six fields was that?
That woman came out of nowhere.
Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus. Ma'am, are you okay?
We must stop bumping into each other like this.
Oh, hell. No, again. Do all your plans involve throwing yourself out of or in front of things?
Only the ones that work.
Well, it's been a pleasure bumping into you like this, but we have a meeting to get to.
Oh, stay a while.
No, thank you.
Well, the night is young.
I must be getting on.
Well, don't flee.
I'm fleeing.
Are they all right?
Drive. Just drive. Remember the vampire I met earlier, Lilith?
Yeah.
That's her.
That's her?
Yep.
What? Oh, my God! Plasma swilling pest.
She means business.
I mean pleasure. But we can get to that. We need to talk.
That's it. We're getting out of here. So, why are we being chased by your girlfriend?
What makes you think she's my girlfriend?
You just met her this morning and now she's chasing us. And surely you're not that much of a threat to whatever Carmella's plans are.
What? How dare you? I'm Beatrice Janeway. I'm the coolest and strongest vampire hunter. I have connections to the 13th Hour Brigade.
You know, for all your talk of being a cool vampire hunter, I'm not seeing you do any cool vampire hunting.
That's because I'm being hunted. I set traps. I follow leads. I'm usually doing the chasing on rooftops, not in cars. I'm like a traditionalist. The personal touch, you know?
Oh, I'd love to hear more about your personal touch, Miss Janeway. But first, we need to talk.
Well, why don't I kick things off? Hiya!
Ah! Hold on. Take the wheel.
What?
Take the wheel.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
That Tommy gun you have in your glove compartment
is loaded with silver-plated bullets, baby. Say hello to my expensive friend. Drat. 50,000 ducats spent in less than 10 seconds.
Did you get her at least?
Nope. No, she's running towards us again, and she's gaining.
Hold on. I'm gonna make things interesting.
Is that a...
Yep.
You wouldn't.
It's the only way.
But it's a church. Mother will give me any of all. Okay.
Did that work?
I think so. She's not coming in. Where did you learn that?
I told you. I'm a traditionalist.
So? What now?
We go through the catacombs directly to City Hall.
There are catacombs directly to City Hall?
Yes, it was a way for priests and politicians to meet without risking a vampire encounter. Not so useful these days, but a vampire hunter has to know these things.
Why? Hang on. Let me lock the card. Oh my car! My dear, sweet car!
Oh, Mr. Boss.
Oh, God damn that swiving sacrilegious charlatan. That profane blood-guzzling brute of Babylon, that sanguine-soaked nightmare. Now what am I going to take to the gala to make all the smug snobs wish they had nearly a fraction of the expendable income I had?
Is it me? Was Lily flirting a little?
Flirting? Flirting? Oh, my beautiful automobile lies in pieces thanks to that thrall of Carmela's, and all you can think about is the flirting?
Too soon?
Yes, too soon!
I mean, right? Like, she's definitely, like, into me.
Wait, are you flirting?
Yes.
How?
Well, I'm playing hard to get. It serves me very well in the vampire hunting business.
Come on, let's go see the mayor.
As the knights marched onwards, Beatrice and Mr. Boss, battered and bloodied by their beef with the broad, stumbled their way through the catacombs that led to the elevator that would take them to the mayor's office.
I'm sorry for dragging you into this, and I'm sorry about your car.
You didn't drag me into nothing. I came into this with my eyes wide. I knew the dangers of traveling after dark. To that end. Are we lost?
You need to have more faith, Mr. Boss. Watch. I just pull this skull to the left, and... presto. You know, I've never met the mayor before.
Really? This'll be fun.
The sheer presence of the mayor was not to be understated. Blinding light filled the elevator as the doors opened to the mayor's office. A typical office, the mayor himself was glowing, his presence demanding to be felt. His 40 eyes and 30 mouths, all beaming with a beneficence that makes a stomach churn.
One second, I just need to finish something.
That's so many eyes, he has more eyes than face. Do it to his face.
Good. Cause it would be rude.
Ah, Mr. Boss, Ms. Janeway, please come in.
Mayor, I'd like to introduce you to Beatrice Janeway. Private Eye, vampire hunter, and former member of the
13th Hour Brigade. Your reputation precedes you, Ms. Janeway.
It's a pleasure to meet you too, Mr. Mayor. Which hand should I shake?
Oh, yes, sorry, that happens sometimes. This one.
Please, Mayor, what's all this about?
Ah, yes, Mr. Boss, business first as always. Please, sit. So pleased you could both be here. I have a delicate problem that I need your help with, Ms. Janeway. Would you reach over to that light switch by your side? This is a map of Sanguine City, the population of which is, Mr. Boss?
About 1 million?
About 1 million at least, according to census numbers. 1 million civic participants yearning to live, build, and develop this beautiful city of ours. Or at least, so we thought.
What do you mean?
I had a letter sent to me anonymously. It was an odd letter. Not just your policy requests or regular death threats. This was a breakdown of the voter turnout numbers over the last 10 years.
What do the numbers say? That can't be right.
40%?
Yes.
My mother would hate this. But she always took pride in the city's dedication to democratic values, and here we are. Half the city not voting.
And you think you know what's causing this?
Yes.
What?
The location of the voting booths. Because voting has always taken place from sunrise to sunset in City Hall, in the middle of a vacant space. People who can't walk through sunlight can't vote.
Wait. You're talking about vampires?
Yes.
Well, that ain't right. Even those bloodsuckers should be allowed to vote.
Glad to see you're on board.
Huh. So, your plan is to improve voting numbers by helping vampires to vote. How?
I'm glad you asked. This is a visualization of the shadow cast over the city by the new Civic Center building. See? It passes right across the city. It's not perfect, but during at least one point on election day, anyone with, shall we say, extreme sunlight sensitivity can walk along the shadow and get to the Civic Center to vote. This new Civic Center will return San Guin to its rightful place as the most democratic city in the world.
Why didn't you just extend the availability of mail-in ballots?
Well, Mr. Boss, I wish you were here 3 focus groups and 20 million ducats ago.
Wait, so you're saying... No, this can't be right. Vampires are evil.
Beatrice, what would my mother say?
I'm serious. Can we really allow a species we know to be evil to vote in our elections?
What makes you think the vampires are evil?
I'm a vampire hunter. I'm the vampire hunter.
Tell me, Ms. Janeway, what was that meeting you had this afternoon? I think you met with someone. My sources tell me that she visited you, flirted with you, and then she jumped out of the window?
It was a little more threatening than that.
Was it? Or did you just feel threatened because of your prejudices?
Well, she attacked us just now and...
Perhaps she merely wanted to continue her dalliance with you, Ms. Janeway.
Well, she could have been clearer with her tone.
And that makes her evil? Think about this. This town is 60% vampire. If vampires were actually violent in nature, wouldn't we all be vampires already?
Mayor, please. Why are we actually here? To extol virtues on vampire suffrage?
Ah, Caramel.
Carmella.
Thanks.
It's always Carmella.
What has she been up to now?
For the last few nights, Carmella has been ingratiating herself with all of the previous mayoral candidates, many of whom will be running for mayor this year. And she's been paying another trip to all of them tonight. It's my job to make sure that this election is run fairly, so I need to know what she's been up to, and I want you to help me tonight.
Tonight? That doesn't give me much time to find her.
Well, that shouldn't be a problem. She's on her way here.
Here? Why?
You can ask her yourself. Ah, Carmela. A pleasure to have a visit from a fellow candidate.
Mayor? Why do you have a slide of me on your projector? Not for nefarious reasons, I hope.
Well, I knew that you were coming. I just didn't know what for.
It's not the most flattering photo of me. Godot?
Yes?
Would you?
My slides!
What are you doing here, you swiving vampire spawnulator?
Oh, it's part of my campaign drive. You see, the mayor is not the first candidate I've visited this evening. Isn't that right, Godot?
That's correct.
You've been tampering with the election?
Have you no shame?
In my visits, I have been able to persuade, let's say, many of the candidates to withdraw themselves from the ballots and back my campaign.
Right, you've been going round subverting the democratic process with your bribery and death threats. Maybe turning them if they turn you down.
Bribery? Death threats? No! No, far too much admin. Even turning someone takes too much effort. You have to clean them, train them, teach them about the vampire ways. Ugh, no. Much easier when people just do what I want them to do the first time. Look at Godot. His husband died. I brought him back. And now we're friends. Isn't that right, Godot?
He doesn't look very happy.
Nonsense! He's bright as a button. Everyone has something they want, and I am often fortunate enough to provide it. There has been one thorn in my side, though.
Was it a cool and strong vampire hunter?
Yes! Honestly, Beatrice, a mystery not good enough for you? A holiday with Lilith not good enough for you?
I'm not in the habit of accepting gifts from nemeses, Carmela.
Pity. I think you two would be cute together. And what about you, Mr. Boss?
What?
Are you in the habit of accepting gifts from nemeses?
What are you talking about?
You know, Lilith was telling me about a delightful little thing she met in the Bloody Mary the other night. A real looker. Smart, too. A prime candidate for turning. You have no idea how persuasive a choice it is when it's in front of you. A life of infinite youth, beauty, and prosperity? Lilith offered her a job, but do you know she turned us down? She was happy with the job she had, she said, despite the recent influx of goldfish.
Wait, you mean Susie?
Perhaps I'll have a crack at her myself. From what she said, I think she'd have a lot of potential as my aide, or perhaps my secretary.
Right, that's it! Come here!
Oh, I hit a nerve.
Hell yes. Here we go. Vampire fight.
Oh, are those silver knuckle dusters?
Silver knuckle dust is in my left and right hands. You better believe it.
Excellent. I do like a challenge.
Hey, Carmela.
I'm a bit busy right now.
I just found out that evil is not an essentialist biological trait. Just to confirm, you're not one of those good vampires, are you?
No.
Instead of discussing virtue ethics, why don't you take the other guy?
Fair enough. All right, flunky, let's have it.
The next one goes in your arm. The one after that goes in your heart.
Big words, little man. But how's this for a riposte?
Oh! Is that a Berlioz blade? Very nice.
Something I picked up on my trip to Europe. I'd like to have it back if you don't mind.
Sure, here you go. Good dodge.
You too. Never seen someone move like that before.
Just something my husband taught me.
Carmela mentioned something about that. What's your name, anyway?
Godot.
What are you doing hanging around the likes of Carmela?
It's a long story.
I guess what I'm asking is, you seem kind of nice. Are you inherently evil? Mr. Fox!
Oh, don't worry. He's just a little outclassed. You know, Mr. Boss, you could always join me.
You gotta be kidding me. I'm just getting my second wind!
Come now, imagine how strong you'd be as a vampire. And of course, if dear little Susie were to join as well, you'd always have that in common, wouldn't you?
Go to hell!
Of course, there's always the other option.
What other option?
Well, it's tough for a human in a vampire city. Were I to win tomorrow's election, which I will, I can't vouch for Susie's safety. Although, if the worst were to happen, I have a little magic that would bring her back for you. For the right price, of course.
No!
What was that, Godot?
No, I'm not evil. I'm not evil, and I can't let you do this. Not again.
Looks like the numbers have turned, Carmella. Unless you think you can take all four of us.
Four? Are you sure?
Mr. Boss!
I've seen this before. Poison tips in her gloves. He doesn't have long.
It's a funny old thing, wife. I'm a successful man, but I've had to do unspeakable things to accumulate my wealth and power. Oh, if only life could be played backwards, it would be so much more worthwhile. I see a successful man of crime watching his luxuries ebbing away. Incredible cruelties he commits to hold on to them, only working to decrease his money and power until finally he abandons them altogether to spend more time with his family.
God, oh gosh, Mr. Boss.
When you see Susie, tell her I'm sorry I didn't get to see her.
I thought you said you didn't kill people.
I said I didn't do death threats, dear. But there's something delightfully efficient about death. And now I believe it's your turn. Miss Janeway, we've had our fun. But if I'm to turn over a new leaf tomorrow, I will need to swat all my flies tonight. And that now includes you, Godot, by the way. Unless you've had a change of heart and would like to join me. We're not all evil, you know.
No, thank you. Godot, take my hand.
Okay.
Excellent. Do you have a grappling hook?
No.
Well, then use one of mine. Well, Carmella, you've killed a good friend of mine, and I'll be back to seek vengeance, probably later tonight. In the meantime, you can have your conversation with the mayor.
You're just going to leave me?
Yep. Try not to die while I'm gone, okay? Hold on tight, Godot. Wow, he's competent. Where did you pick him up?
The circus.
Right. See ya.
And now, Mayor, let's talk about what you want. And don't get mouthy on me, okay?
As the moon began her descent towards the horizon, Beatrice and Godot approached a crooked building at the corner of Valentine and Fifth. At the end of an alley, half glazed with light and half shrouded by darkness, these two unlikely companions stood before a wall plastered with graffiti, rewards for lost kittens, and advertisements for piano tuition. Beatrice turned to Godot and gave a knowing look before stamping her foot on the floor beneath. She stepped back as a hatch opened into the floor below. They wafted through the scent of salt-crushed pistachios, glass cleaner, and dried blood as they descended the metal staircase into the Bloody Mary, the oldest and most inclusive dive bar in all of San Gwyn. Here, the creatures of the day could coexist with the citizens of the night, watched over by the ever-watching eye of the neutral watcher embedded in the wall. Fights between vampires, monsters, humans, and any other creatures were strictly forbidden. And Beatrice had witnessed firsthand what happened to those who failed to abide by the truce.
Drink?
Yeah.
Barman, two Bloody Marys and keep them coming.
Do you want the Bloody Marys or the Bloody Marys?
Surprise me. So, how long have you worked for Caramel?
I can barely remember. A decade, maybe more. I used to be a young man, but now there's gray whiskers in my beard and bags under my eyes.
I've got a lotion for that.
Really?
Yeah. Long nights. You want to look your best when you're running along rooftops. Yeah, that's bloody.
Why did you order it like that?
Because I live life on the edge.
Right.
So, your husband?
Yes.
Carmella brought him back.
His name was Carlos. We were circus performers. a daring duo, me, a daredevil, and Carlos, an acrobat. He would wow the crowds from all over. Until one day...
Yep, barman. Two more. More vodka, less blood.
Until one day, the catapult of hubris. We were sure everything was going to be fine. We practiced the trick 100 times, but that night I had an offer from a completely different line of work. Personal assistant, bodyguard, someone who could keep up and do daring stunts without an audience. And that was...
Carmela.
Yes, naturally I turned her down. I loved Carlos, I loved the circus. I wasn't about to let a job, however well paid, get in the way of my happiness. But that night, I don't know, I felt woozy, different, spellbound in some way, and I...
Something happened.
Yes.
And Carlos died.
Yes.
And the offer was still open.
Yes. About a week later, she came by again. Only the offer had changed. Rather than immortal life or riches, she had something simpler. She could bring Carlos back. I was in ruin by then. Had barely slept, drinking and smoking the days away, not wanting to acknowledge what had happened. And when she said she could bring him back, I couldn't refuse. But she didn't bring him back. She just left a copy of him with me. I talked to him, reminisce with him, but I can't let him go. I want to let him go. I want to move on, but I'm not strong enough.
So what changed? Today at the mayor's office, you abandoned her. What happened?
One of Carlos's old jokes. I don't know, but I just remembered it there in the midst of the fight.
Really? A joke? How did it go?
What's the difference between a guardian angel and the devil in disguise?
I don't know.
One hails your virtue, the other veils to hurt you.
Huh.
He had better ones, but in that moment, I don't know, I just felt empowered, I guess.
I'll drink to that.
Why are we here anyway?
This is why we're here.
And ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the stage, the salacious, the sumptuous, and the sinful Susie.
They call her hard-hearted henna, the vamp of Savannah, the meanest girl in town. Leather is tough, but Hannah's heart is tougher. She's a girl who loves to see men suffer, to tease them and thrill them, to torture and kill them is her delight, they say. I saw her at the seashore with a great big pain. There was Hannah pouring water on a drowning man. She's hot-hearted Hannah, the vamp of Savannah, G.A.
Wow, she can really sing.
I'll say. Who's that she's making eyes at?
Oh, I recognize her. It's...
Lilith.
You know her?
Quick, under the table. We're crawling.
We're what? Ow!
They call her hard-hearted Hannah, the vamp of Savannah, the meanest girl in town. Talk of your cold, refrigerated mama's brother. A polar bear's pajamas. To tease them and thrill them, to torture and kill them is her delight, they say. An evening spent with Hannah playing with your hair is like traveling through Alaska in your underwear. She's hot-hearted Hannah, the vamp of Savannah, G.A. She is hard-hearted.
Venagia.
Susie, ladies and gentlemen, up next, Nosferatu.
Beautiful performance, dear.
Thank you.
To the new Civic Center.
To justice and suffrage for your people.
Speaking of our people.
I have been thinking about your offer. I have a few questions.
Such as?
Well, blood, for example.
It doesn't have to be human.
Okay. What's the job market like?
A lot of night shifts, security, working from home, that sort of thing.
Dress code?
Oh, entirely up to you. But we tend to go business gothic.
Hmm. And the benefits?
Immortality, fangs, sex appeal.
Sex appeal, you say?
Oh, don't get me started.
It's true.
Shh. Listen, it sounds great and all, but isn't your boss, like, a murderer?
She is problematic.
Problematic?
Okay, fine, evil then. And not like fun gray evil like me. She's pretty cut and dry evil, no matter what way you look at it. But before she came along, we were all in the shadows, without a hope of recognition, and she's a bit of an outlier in her beliefs and practice, but she gets things done.
And you're okay with that?
I used to be, to an extent. As the years have gone on, she's become less about the cause and more about securing her own political power. When she announced herself running for office today, it surprised me. It surprised everyone. The community is scared of her, and I think they're ready for change.
A change?
With the right candidate.
I see. So you're planning to replace Carmela and make this change?
I've done things. Things I'm not proud of. Things that most people wouldn't understand. Things that I don't understand. Many of us have in our fight for this cause. No, it needs to be someone new. Someone who can lead us in this next stage of our fight. Perhaps...
Wait, you don't mean... No, listen, I was happy to help you with some data analysis, and sending that letter to the mayor got us closer to our goal, but this is... Well, I'm not remotely qualified for that.
An innovative poli-sci student with excellent credentials and connections throughout the city, after a career working for the most powerful figure in the underworld, might be worth bringing you out of the shadows, if you get my drift.
Huh. Interesting. I'm not saying I'm convinced, but...
Well, perhaps you should consult your friends. Like the ones hiding under the table over there.
I told you a glass table was a bad idea.
Hello, Susie. Lilith, why is it whenever we meet you're breaking the glass?
It's a wedding tradition.
Mazel tov.
Touché.
Don't you mean en garde?
Actually, could we put the possible bloodshed on hold? That eye is looking right at us.
Okay, fair point. Lilith, what are you doing with your slightly yet powerful arm around my deceased associate's secretary?
Deceased?
Oh, I'm sorry, Susie.
How?
Carmela.
You gonna be okay, hon?
Yeah. I just... He never got to hear me sing. He always said he would, but something always came up. My drink's empty.
Hey, barkeep. Another round. More blood, less vodka this time. And put the table on my tab.
Can we drink a toast to Mr. Boss? Mr. Boss.
Mr. Boss.
A hell of a guy.
With a hell of a car.
Wish I'd had the chance to meet him.
Great. More drinks. Gotta another joke.
Okay, so a vampire, a monster, and a human are trudging through a forest, and they meet a wild Pegasus. Each of them are tired, and they want a lift on the Pegasus, but it can only fit one of them. The vampire says, I deserve the Pegasus
so,
because...
The one-legged harpy said, don't mind me, sister. I fly side saddle.
Excuse me. I've come to a decision.
Tell us, Susie.
I have decided that if I wake up tomorrow sober and still think it's a good idea, that I will become Queen of the Vampires!
Yay?
Hmm?
You mean it? You'll help us?
Yes.
Oh, Lilith.
Yes, my dear.
My life has become so much more complicated than it was at the beginning of the day. Things made sense. Hunt vampire, get paid, sleep, repeat. And now, there's all these grey areas and vampire suffrage, and there's a possibility that these issues can be solved by turning someone into a vampire, and I'm just confused as all hell.
Well, don't worry yourself. Because I do have one more job for you, Miss Beatrice Janeway. Former member of the 13th Hour Brigade and one of the coolest and strongest vampire hunters.
Which is?
Kill Carmella.
Ooh, I like that idea. I like that idea a lot. That's a very good idea.
All we need is some semblance of a plan.
Well, since you asked me for a plan, I think I can come up with something. Wait, hold on. Oh, got it. Got it. You get us into the building, then Lilith and I make our way up by elevator. I'll pretend to be Lilith's hostage. That gets us up in the penthouse. I'll bring my crossbow. Lilith will bring the fangs. And Godo, you'll be across the street with a high-powered rifle and a bandolier of silver bullets.
The curtains are always drawn.
Fine, you'll be our eyes on the ground. You can come up if you think something's going wrong.
Is that your whole plan? Isn't that a little slapdash?
Well, it's 2 hours till sunrise. We have had so much to drink, and this is the only plan I have. We will solve any problems that arise as we go.
How?
I don't know. A moment of inspired genius, probably.
Oh, barman! A pitcher of water and 4 coffees. 3 flat whites, 1 flat red.
Coming up!
And so, as the orange light of dawn began to creep through the sky, turning the midnight black to a deep purple, our unlikely heroes hailed a tram, heading back to Beatrice's apartments. When they got there, Beatrice grabbed the book from a bookshelf, and the whole shelf moved to reveal a small arsenal of silvered weapons, or wooden stakes, and an array of fine grappling hooks.
Have at 'em!
Once suitably kitted, and looking like badass vampire hunters, they made their way on foot to the Civic Center.
To think I've been living in the shadow of my mortal enemy this entire time.
You're so dramatic.
That's because a lot of drama happens around me. Now, are we all sure on the plan?
Yes!
No.
Excellent! Susie, election registration is on the 3rd floor.
2nd staircase, 3rd door on the right.
Yes, ma'am.
And don't come looking for us. Godo, you stand here and keep a lookout. Anything goes wrong, be a hero, come in and save us.
How will I know if something goes wrong? The curtains are drawn.
That's just a blind spot. Just trust that a moment of inspired genius will happen, and if it doesn't, come and rescue us.
It just seems like a pretty big flaw in the plan.
Lilith, ready to meet your maker?
Ready.
Hold my hand. The safe word is pineapple.
Let's go.
Right. Guess I'll just, stay out here then.
Darling?
Yes, my dear?
Are you sure you're ready?
Yes, yes, I'm ready.
Good. I am so proud of you.
I will miss you so much, husband.
And are you? Will you forget me?
Never. I could never forget you. The stars will go out and the water will rust before I forget the name of my beloved. Or the terrible jokes he used to tell me. I'm scared.
Me too. But it's the right thing to do.
I love you.
I love you too, my sweet. Until time runs out.
He has a point, you know.
What, who does?
Godot? This is kind of a half-baked plan. To be honest, I was expecting more from Beatrice Janeway, former...
I'm good on my feet.
Then take me dancing.
And never underestimate the value of a half-baked plan. Your opponent can't guess the ending if you haven't thought of it yet.
Oh, that's very comforting to know.
By the way...
Hmm?
The offer of dancing.
Yes?
And perhaps some time out of the city.
Is still on the table. Yes.
Tight, cool. Yes, no doubt.
Are you sure you're the coolest vampire hunter?
I...
Lilith, just in time. How was your... Good Lord, Beatrice. Pleasure to see you here as well.
Carmella.
Oh, no caramel this time? What? You've stopped going sweet on me?
I caught her eavesdropping on me at the Bloody Mary. She, Godot, and Susie invited me to join them in killing you. I, of course, played along.
Lilith, what are you doing?
What? Oh, you thought I was going along with you? That after all this time working for the one vampire in Sanguine City who actually cares about my people, that I would betray her for what? A down-and-out clown, an ex-secretary, and a so-called vampire hunter who isn't nearly so cool as she thinks she is.
Loyalty, dear. You only win it by offering people what they want. You wanted a mystery, a sense of adventure, and companionship. It takes years to learn how to read people. It was Lilith's idea to play along as your potential companion. I gave you what you wanted, and now you're here. In handcuffs. Well done, Lilith.
For the cause, Carmella. Always for the cause.
And where are the others?
Godot is waiting outside. Susie, that secretary, is on the third floor registering to vote.
Excellent. Once that analyst busybody is officially part of the election process, anything she says will just be seen as politics. Good thinking, Lilith.
Lilith, how could you do this? I thought we had something.
Did she offer to take you dancing? Oh, that was my idea, you know. Gives it a more personal touch. Lilith, go downstairs and see to Godot, will you?
Yes, ma'am.
You'll never get away with this.
Oh, my dear. Be anything you like, but please don't be cliché.
I can't believe that, Lilith. That everything we had, I felt... I was sure.
Lilith and I want the same thing. Sure, her vision isn't quite what mine is, but that's all to come.
And what is your vision?
A vampire city. A true vampire city. A monoculture of vampire businesses, vampire residences, vampire culture. A blood bank on every street corner. A culture of night. Too long, my people have been cast in the shadows, forced to conduct our affairs when all others have stopped. Not even permitted the dignity of voting. It's... well, it's so inconsiderate.
Inconsiderate?
We can't go out in the day. But you can go out at night. Why is it that my people have had to live our lives separately? We're over half the city. Do you know how bad it is for a city to have such a split in its population? Well, no longer. Tomorrow, I will become the mayor of San Gwyn. And then things will change.
Let me guess. You plan to turn the entire city?
I will give the people what they want. Eternal life, beauty, a functional economy.
And those who refuse?
We'll have to get used to the nightlife. Besides, I believe I mentioned a blood bank on every corner.
And what do you plan for me? Kill me? Turn me? Or am I simply to be bored to death?
Not at all. You will be completely free to leave. But I may call a few members of the 13th Hour Brigade and let them know where they can find their former colleague.
How did you know?
One has to be good at knowing things if one wants to be the mayor.
I thought you gave people what they wanted.
I do. They've wanted to know where you are for quite some time. One can't please everyone, you know. Of course, you could also become a vampire. I think you've realized we're not all evil. Oh, you're thinking about it. I can tell. Lilith, could you... What the... Godot?
Looks like today is the day.
This isn't what I wanted.
Godot, Lilith?
Pineapple!
But you said...
What I had to. And... Yeah, and I am sorry. Godot, did you hit your mark?
I always do.
And... Carlos?
He's gone. She was telling the truth about that.
I'm sorry.
I got sick of not knowing what's happened. Is she dead?
Yes, we did it.
I thought I told you not to come up here.
Well, mayoral candidates need to be able to make their own decisions. Speaking of, Lilith?
Yes?
Let's do it.
Let's do... Oh! Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. Beatrice, meet tonight at the Bloody Mary.
Okay.
We have that dance.
Yes.
After you.
Thanks.
Beatrice?
Huh? Yes, sorry. I was miles away. Standing over there powerless. Carmella looming over me. Carousel of moments rotating in front of me. Vampires slain. Comrades lost. Opportunity squandered. Until something skewered through it all. Thank you, Godot. You were a damn hand with that stake.
Years of practice.
So, what now?
I don't know. Carlos has been in my head for so long. It's weird to know I'll never hear his voice again.
Do you need a moment?
No, I'm fine. I'm sad, of course, but it was time to move on. Though I don't know exactly what I'll do next.
Susie is going to need a secretary. And a security guard. Might be good for someone of your talents.
Maybe.
Got any more of Carlos's jokes?
Oh, sure. What's the difference between a team maker and a tyrant?
I don't know.
One delights in his suffusion, the other suffers with self-delusion.
And as Beatrice and Godot throw back the curtains of the penthouse suite, the sun rises over San Gwyn once more. You've been listening to Nightlife. The cast in order of appearance: Oliver Morris as the narrator, Beth Eyre as Beatrice Janeway, Maeve de Bron as Lilith, Grim Cronflee as Carlos, Graham Rowett as Godot, Sivan Raz as Susie, Sarah Golding as Mr. Boss, Carolyn Minx as Carmella, Conrad Mishuk as the Mayor, Jack Fitzpatrick as the announcer, and additional roles by James Curtis. The script was written by James Curtis and Oliver Morris, with sound design from James Curtis and Oliver Morris, and original compositions from Oliver Morris. A special thank you to Jude Hodgson-Hahn.